You'd see the people from Balloch. I mean, they're just, you know, what do you call it? You know, cherry brown or, you know, just amazing. Need to go out there someday. I'm going to ask you a question, though, today. And there's a question there. What would you do, okay, if you won millions of pounds in the lottery? And if you want to see what you do, I'll come with the mic and you can, this is a roving mic. So if anyone wants to say, what would you do if you won millions of pounds in the lottery? Anyone got an answer? Stick up your hand and I'll come. There's one up there.
Buy St. Mirren.
Wow. Are they for sale? Any others? What would you do? One over here.
Quit my job.
Quit your job? What is your job?
Nursing.
I wonder. Aye. All these kids. No, it's good fun, isn't it, being a nursing nurse? I do social work with children and families. That's bad enough as well. Anyway, any other answers? What would you do?
I'd buy a bunch of CDs.
A bunch of CDs? A big bunch? And he's going to buy a bunch of grapes because he says that people like grapes. Any others? Here's one.
Charity.
Is that a person or is that a thing? Charities in the world, that'd be good to get some money. Any others? Nobody? Yes, maybe. What would you do if you got lots and lots of money? Do you know?
She told me she would buy a new car and a new house.
A new car and a new house? Have you not got I just got an old car, have you? I don't know about your mum's. You got a car? A car and a house. Lots of things we might do. Here's another question for you. Would it change your life? Do you think it would change your life if you had lots of money? Eh? Anyone to answer that one? Would it change your life? It probably would change your life. Whether it would be for the good or not, we don't know. It's all a theory, isn't it, at the moment? What about this question? Would it change you as a person? That's an interesting question. You might have all that money. Would it change you as a person, the kind of person that you are? I saw this letter that someone had written. Dear John, I've been unable to sleep since I broke off our relationship. Won't you forgive and forget? Your absence is breaking my heart. I was a fool. Nobody can take your place. I love you so much. All my love, Belinda. P.S. Congratulations on winning this week's lottery. Don't know if it would change you as a person. You maybe heard about the man that bursts into the house and he says, honey, pack your bags, I've won the lottery. And she said, should I pack for the seaside or for the mountains? I don't care what you pack, just get out of the house. That's a shame, isn't it? And it does happen sometimes that when people, their life is changed by circumstances and or by money, they become different people. This lady here, Angela Kelly, was a Royal Mail worker just working along the road in East Kilbride. And she became, on the 15th of August 2007, the first biggest winner of Euro Million. She won £35 million. And you could say, wow, that's amazing. Made her richer than Prince Harry and Prince William and all these other people going about. Dare I say, even Wayne Rooney, whoever he was. And made her as rich as anything. She just built, you know, just bought a new kitchen for her house, which cost about £80,000. Not the kitchen, the house. And she just was, you know, enjoying her job, doing her day-to-day work, when she won all this money. And if you were to ask her, did it change her life? Well, it did, unfortunately, not so much for the better. She didn't know what to do, just threw her into a complete disarray. She already had separated from the father of her child, and he was worried about the security of the child. Would the child be kidnapped? Would people want money, ransom money, demanding things? How could she live in safety and security anymore? And it just created a lot of hassle for her. I don't know what she did with 35 million, to be honest. I don't even know her. But that's apparently what she looked like just after she'd won all that money. She was trying to just live a normal life, be an ordinary, normal person. And it wasn't easy to do that. This couple here, Lara and Roger Griffiths, they also won. The only one, £1.5 million in the 2005 jackpot. And, you know, at first it just seemed wonderful. It meant he could work for himself. He'd start a new business. What could possibly go wrong? Well, unfortunately, everything went wrong. The relationship went sour. They separated. And they said, in fact, it's true to say the lottery win affected our relationship for the worse. Before, we were a team treading parallel paths, and after, we started pulling in completely different directions. Nothing wrong with having money. Great if we could give it all away to charities and help people locally. And all these people got begging letters from people they didn't even know saying, give me a few quid to help me out in my situation. So what would you do if you won millions of pounds in the lottery? Would it change your life? Would it change you as a person? Would you become a better person, do you think? Would you become more loving, more patient, more generous? Well, if any indications are, you'll be the same kind of person that you were before, but probably worse. So if you were generous before, you'd be more generous probably after. If you were grumpy and argumentative and fighting everybody all the time and falling out with people before, you'd probably be the same after. Money does not change you. But I want to tell you about some people, true stories of people that were changed by God. And so there are positives and our life situations can change, but when God comes into your life, he does amazing things. The Bible says this: the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will be changed into a different person. That was said to a man called Saul, who was an ordinary guy, getting on with his job, as it were, and his life suddenly changed when he was made king of Israel. And God knew that if there was to be a king, he would need the help of God in his life. He was to be different. He would need to have the Spirit of God in your life. And you can't buy that. You can't win that as a prize. It's something that God gives. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're not living for God. We're not responsive to God. A dead person does not respond to God and can't do what's right. A dead person just doesn't have any power. But the gift of God, this is prize giving, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? There's something to avoid and something to get out of God, the Spirit of God helping us in our lives. And in my experience in life, which is not very long, believe it or not, when people have allowed the Spirit of God to come into their lives, they've been changed. I'm going to tell you about a wee bit about, not the whole story, but John Dick. Some of you know John Dick, who was working in John's for a long time. When John was 9 years of age, we went and chapped his door because we were given a wee list of people that used to come to Sunday school in View Park. We went and chapped his door, and Lauren and myself were talking to John's mum at the front door. Meanwhile, John was sneaking out the back door over the fence to go and play because he didn't want to go to Sunday school that day, but he thought he'd sneak off and get away. However, his mum caught him. John! He wasn't made to go to Sunday school, but he did come. But he actually enjoyed it. And when he was quite young, and he was only 9 when we found him again, and when he was about 10, he decided he wanted to be a Christian. He wanted to know that all the things he'd done wrong in his life, whether it was things he'd said or done, whatever it was, those things could be forgiven. And we said, of course, Jesus forgives all the things we do that are wrong, whatever age we are, whatever stage in life we are at, God can do that. So John became a Christian quite young, really. He was quite young to become a Christian. And he became a regular member at the wee Sunday school that we ran and the clubs that we did. And, you know, his mum was holding back. She wasn't sure about this Christian bit, and she wasn't sure if she really wanted it. And one of the big problems in their life at that time was that John's dad was out of work. And John's dad also liked a good drink. Now, Ian would tell you that himself. He was here, so I'm not telling tales out of school. But Jean was saying, well, this is all very nice. I'm glad that John's going to the clubs, and I'm glad that John's going to Sunday school. I'm glad that he's happy and he's learning the guitar and all that stuff to play these songs that you were doing earlier. That was good, by the way. And she said, but I'm really worried about this life. She's going out to work a wee bit, get some work to bring some money in. Ian's unemployed. Ian's drinking the money he does get in on a Friday night, and that was just bothering her too much. And she was kind of secretly, inwardly, she didn't tell us this till later on, about 3 years later, because Ian said to me, David, I don't know if there is a God. The things that have happened in my life, I don't know if I can believe in God. I said, well, God's still there for you anyway, Ian. Let's talk about some of those things. And we did. And we prayed about some of those things that happened in his life. And he said, David, if I can get a job, then I'll start believing in God. So we prayed about that. A couple of weeks later, Ian says, David, you're not going to believe this. And I said, well, try me. I've got an interview to go for a job. But there's a big problem here because I'm not very good at reading and writing, and I might have to do that in this job. So, well, let's pray about that, Ian. He got the job, and he had to work a computer. Reading and writing's not his thing, but he could work a computer. But the guy showed him how to press the buttons that were needed for the work. And he got the job and he was doing all right. He said, wow, that's amazing. David, do you think that was God answering that prayer? I said, you bet it was. God was helping you, and he became a Christian. Now, the biggest test for Ian was whether or not he could overcome the drink. I mean alcohol. I don't mean the drink as in the drink, you know, like drinking juice. That was a big problem for Ian. And he had to pray about that and go and help him about that, and we helped him as well, and other people helped him. When Jean saw the change in John, first of all, 9, 10 years of age. Hands up if you're 9 or 10 years of age here, or 11 even. Good. You could be an influence on your mums and dads and your aunties and uncles as well. If you became a Christian and the Spirit of God comes powerfully on your life and helps you to be the right kind of person, then that would be amazing, wouldn't it? So when Jean saw the change in John and in Ian, she said, wow, God must be real after all. He's changing. He's helping us with our problems. He's helping us with our life. He really cares about us. He really is interested in what we do and what kind of people we are, whether or not we've got lots of money or not. She became a Christian too. And they're still going to church. Isn't that good? God is great. God is good. 10,000 reasons we sang to think about him and what he can do. I'll tell you very briefly about another lady called Pam. And this is a lady that challenged me to think that God could change people's lives. Because a long time ago, we went to England. I know it's a terrible place, isn't it? I know. Sorry, Steve. Steve was a bit depressed when he phoned me on Friday. Ah, Steve, I'm really feeling sorry for you. You know, the England team's out now. That's a shame. Anyway, when we went to Ipswich for a year, we met this lady called Pam. And she told me an interesting story. She had two children or young people that came to the wee youth group we started there. And she told me that when her husband walked out and left the two kids with her to bring them up, they're only about 5 or 7 years of age when her husband walked out and left her. She wasn't a Christian or anything at that time. She just fell to her knees, said, God, if you're there, help me. And you know what she told me? She said, David, he did. That was a day when I just felt God was wanting to help me, and I found out about Jesus. I found out he could be a strength in my life. And if I asked for forgiveness for the things I had done wrong, and he gave me forgiveness, and as I trusted Jesus, he helped me day by day. She's in her 70s now, and she still sends us a wee Christmas card at Christmas, believe it or not. A Christmas card at Christmas, that's not unusual, isn't it? And she's telling me that just the last one that she sent, David, I'm not as fit and able to go out onto the streets of Ipswich, because she was doing a street pastor thing, you know, how you go out and help people coming out of the nightclubs and things. You're in your 70s and going to the nightclubs. Anyway, she used to do that to help the people and tell them about Jesus. She said, I'm not as fit to do that, but I still love Jesus and God still helped me in my life. That's amazing, isn't it? God is great. God is good. God is able to change our lives. And when we call on him, and this is a verse in the Bible that says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Those people I've talked to, they all talked to God in some way. They called out to him and asked God to help them. And that doesn't mean there's no troubles in your life as a Christian. It doesn't mean, say, you've become rich. You might save your money. The boys in the scheme and view part used to say, David, how come you can afford to go on holiday and have a car? Well, because, guys, I don't drink Buckfast half the week and smoke cigarettes. So all the money I save from that, I put into a holiday. Aye, you could be right, David. That's good, that, aye. So there's some good advice. You can save your money and do these things as well. You don't have to rely on the lottery to get all that money. But when we call out to God, he saves us and helps us. But it doesn't mean we've got no troubles. I was speaking to a lady in our church just 2 weeks ago. She hadn't been coming to church for a wee while, and I sent her a wee text saying, how you doing? Oh, she wasn't doing too good. She was feeling depressed. In fact, she was feeling a wee bit suicidal. She said, I was getting a wee bit worried about that. So when she said that she had a plan, to do with her life, I said, what can I do? I'm stuck at my work here. I'm not going to dash up to her house, but I'll just phone the crisis centre and they go out and help people. However, they don't go to people if they're drinking. She'd just had a wee drink, so she wasn't feeling too great at all. So they sent the police up. Ah, boom, boom, are you all right, missus? You all right? We heard you weren't feeling so good. You're feeling that you want to end your life. Oh, no, it's all right. I'm all right. And she phoned me, David, did you get the police to come to my door? I said, I did. It was me. I was just worried about you because you said, you know, you weren't feeling so good. You're feeling so down that you wanted to end your life. I was worried about her. So she said, do you want to come and see me and talk to me and my husband? So I did. And she said, David, I was doing so well there. I was doing great. And then I just had, the first time in 6 years I had a wee drink, and it just made me feel so depressed. So, well, that happens. So I said to her, what happens when you fall? Does anyone know the answer to that question? What happens if you fall? yourself up, you start again. It's not a great experience when you fall in life, things go the wrong way, you maybe do something you didn't want to do. But you see, God says there's no condemnation for those that love Him, love Christ, or who are in Christ. So we can ask God to forgive us when things are hard and we've done the wrong thing, made the wrong choice. But we can call out. It says He will save him from all their troubles. It says finally in the Bible, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. So if you do fall down, maybe you do the wrong thing, you say the wrong thing, you go the wrong place, you did the wrong thing, and it was just a disaster. Call out to God, Lord, help me. Three words, Lord, help me. Lord, save me, Peter said when he was sinking in the water. And did the Lord save him? Yes. When we call out, when we're honest with God, and it says if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just. That means He's fair. And He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says, so I believe it. It's great when people can change their lives, whether they've got loads of money or no money. It's a great thing to know that you can be a good person, a person that knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and is loved by Him back. And He helps you in your life. Isn't that a great gift? Isn't that a great prize to have in your life? Thanks for listening.